Welcome to Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, a podcast for students by students, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
Welcome back to Measuring Success Right. My name is Emily, and today on the show we have Alyssa. Alyssa is studying public health. In addition, she is working on a minor in international development here at Brigham Young University. Alyssa is from Huntington Beach, California, and is planning on getting an MPH back in California after she graduates this April. In her free time, Alyssa enjoys thrifting, rollerblading, and surfing. Additionally, Alyssa has been a Ballard Brief editor since winter 2022. We have touched on what Ballard Brief is in the past, but for any new listeners, would you mind explaining what the purpose and mission of Ballard Brief is?
Yeah, so Ballard Brief is under the BYU Ballard Center for Social Impact. So it's just a program under that. And our mission is to advance social impact by providing the world with high quality briefs about current social challenges.
I love that you guys are able to find a way to connect students and different world issues together. As we mentioned before, Alyssa is a editor at Ballard Brief, and we just wanted to ask what the process of publishing an article for Ballard Brief looks like and what kind of criteria they look at.
Yeah, great question. So as I kind of explained earlier, Ballard Brief is underneath the Ballard Center for Social Impact at BYU, or like also underneath the umbrella of like the Marriott School. So mostly we pull our briefs from the introduction class to social impact. So it's called Do Good Better. And in that class, you write a paper about a social issue that you are passionate about. And then with those papers, typically students will apply using that paper. And then we read those papers, and then we take like 12 to 14 students into our Ballard Brief class. And our class is a 2-credit, 1-semester long class where you are matched with an editor and you meet every week and you guys work together on resolving comments and progressing your brief to make it publishable. And then to make a brief publishable, there are certain sections and criteria for each section. So there is the context section, key terms, contributing factors, negative consequences, and then best practice. So those are like the 5 areas that they cover in their brief, and each of them has to be very extensively researched. And yeah, honestly, it is like a lot of work, but it is like super rewarding and really cool to see your paper like up on our website. And then also our briefs will now be on Google Scholar super soon. So it's just really cool to think that we did all this work compiling all this information about like our issue that we're so passionate about. So like for me, like I really wanted to give a voice to child laborers in Myanmar and wanted their story to be heard. And I found that there wasn't a lot of resources to find that information. So it's really cool to think that like if someone was wondering about child labor in Myanmar, they could go to my brief and find all this information about it.
I am so excited to be able to learn more about all these different issues. And honestly, I feel like Ballard Brief is such a good resource. So we can't wait to be able to be creating monthly podcasts with the different authors within Ballard Brief. As an author published on Ballard Brief, would you be willing to talk about how you decided on the topic of child labor in Myanmar and touch on what your research process looked like?
Yeah, so I already knew that I was super passionate about like children's rights, and I wanted to write a paper that would kind of like give them a voice. So I just did a quick Google search and was like, okay, where is child labor super common in the world? And Myanmar popped up super quick. And it turned out that it was like one of the biggest places with like the most child labor. And also that it was like also just so like culturally accepted. So I thought it'd be a really interesting topic to research.
That's crazy. Okay, so as I was reading your article, I noticed a notable statistic of 1 in 10 children, or 160 million kids, are involved in child labor. To make sure we're all on the same page for the rest of the conversation, would you mind giving a broad definition of child labor?
Yeah, so this stat was taken from like the global statistics of child labor. So to define child labor, the most generally agreed upon definition is children under the age of 18 who voluntarily or unwillingly engage in work environments that put them at risk physically or mentally and is socially or morally dangerous.
I don't think I ever realized how much or how many kids were in child labor. But specifically, can you talk about why child labor is so prevalent in Myanmar and what factors make it more likely for a child to enter the workforce?
Yeah, so there are a number of factors, especially in Myanmar specifically, where I studied, that can cause children to enter the workforce. First, in Myanmar, there is like domestic demand for child labor due to recent economic expansions. More children are being employed. Their parents are already employed, with only 0.8% of those 15 and older being unemployed. So that means that children have to enter labor force in order to like get the economic needs. Another factor is like poverty. Many families are already working multiple jobs and they're making insufficient money for the cost of living in Myanmar. So children enter the workforce to help support their families. There's also a cultural expectation in Myanmar for children to start helping their families as soon as possible. So a lot of them decide to join the workforce on their own. And this is seen as like a normal part of growing up and it is actually encouraged. And then other factors can include living in a rural area, having a parent pass away makes them two times more likely to join the workforce, or a parent's education level.
So interesting how different cultures and maybe different life situations highly impact whether or not the child will enter the workforce. So then as far as actual working conditions, what are the conditions like for these children? Also, what kind of jobs are they actually working?
Yeah, great question. So children in Myanmar are typically employed in the agriculture, services, or industrial areas. In some case scenarios, it is common for parents to actually be like in debt for some reason, and they send their kids to a large city to pay that debt. Brokers are actually hired by companies to find children to work for them in the cities. And then when they work in the cities, they often work at tea shops, restaurants, car service garages, or factories. And since they're staying in the city, they will work like 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. and then sleep in the workspace on hard tables or even their homes of the colleagues.
Those are really long hours. I don't know if I could even do those kind of hours. As a society, we value education a lot. And so what does the education system look like in Myanmar, and how does working so young impact school attendance for these children?
Yeah, so the education system is very different than how it is in the US, mostly because of all the indirect costs and fees that are required for the students to pay. As they get older and go on to like secondary school, the cost only increases. So this can equal about $50, which is about 75% of an average family's monthly income. So each month they're paying 75% of their family's income to stay in school. So that is a very huge commitment if the family does want to keep the child in school. But also in Myanmar, it's a little bit unclear to the benefits of receiving an education. And this could be due to the fact that there is a matriculation exam that students must pass before attending university. But to pass this exam requires expensive private tutoring. Therefore, a lot of kids do end up dropping out and getting jobs.
So how is the child labor perpetuated in Myanmar? Are there not laws protecting the children or keeping them in school?
Yeah, there isn't really a law that explicitly prohibits child labor, but there are international laws that say that children should not be working, of course. There are labor regulations specific to Myanmar, but they are vague and not very well regulated. Recently in 2019, there was an adjustment made that a person must be 14 years old before they can begin working. And then that 14 to 16 year old age group can only work for a maximum of 4 hours each day. But this is very difficult to regulate because a lot of people, 21% of the country, do not have birth certificates. So it's very hard to determine someone's age. And then also there have been scenarios where children are told not to show up to work that day because they know someone is coming to check if there are child laborers.
Now that we've talked about the impacts of the laws protecting children, how does this early labor impact the economy?
Yeah, the economy is hugely affected, but I think a lot of it, we will see the effects more in the long run. So because a lot of children are not going to university and getting that higher education, they are staying in those low-skill performance jobs. And this is causing there to be less employees in those jobs with technology or where you need to speak English or jobs that require a degree.
So now that we've talked a lot about the issue and kind of the impacts, what is being done to fight against child labor?
Great question. I was super curious when I was reading all about this too. One amazing organization that I found is called the Myanmar Mobile Education Project. So this was actually started by someone who is from Myanmar, and then he kind of like moved to America and goes back and forth to keep this organization going. So he has like a very obviously like extensive and very like culturally aware knowledge about this issue. So basically what he does is he brings education to the child laborers and compensates the shop owners. So at first it started in like a cute little van, and all the kids were taken into like this school bus or van during a break, and they were educated and then put back, and then they went returned to their jobs. But they have gotten a lot bigger, and now they are like renting out like buildings and then other things like that. So it's really cool to track their progress. Also, after the children complete 4 levels of this education through this project, then they are given the choice to either return full-time to school with financial support from this organization or to attend vocational training.
That is so cool. I think it's amazing that it started from something so small and it has grown a lot bigger. That is amazing. Okay, through both your research about child labor and your work with Ballard Brief, I'm sure you've gained a lot of exposure to many cultures and different ways of life. With this knowledge in mind, how would you define success?
That is a great question. After researching this social issue, I've really come to respect the culture that is in Myanmar and how the children respect their families. And there's just like a wonderful family bond. And that's why a lot of kids enter the workforce and make all those sacrifices to help and support their families. So I think that one way to measure success is by like the love that you show to your families and just being able to like support there and be there for each other. So I think success comes from more of the connections that you make and how strong those are, and being able to maintain those relationships. So whether that's family, friends, or other people that you meet, just showing love and being kind to others.
That is perfect. Wow, I really like how you've been able to connect your research and all of your different experience to be able to come with that definition of success. I think it is really important to maintain relationships and to create that connection, because I feel like that's really what a lot of humanity craves. So thanks so much, Alyssa, for being willing to be on the show today. It was really fun to be able to talk with you and to learn more about some of these harder issues in the world around us.
Thank you, Emily.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect official policy or position of Brigham Young University or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.